Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning, New York. Got a very special guest today on our show. Yes, the amazing Fran Capo. The only way to describe this woman, she's done so many things I can't even keep up. She holds numerous world records. I think she holds a world record in all the things she's done. She's so amazing. She's an actress, writer, an adventurer, a comedian, a spokesperson, a TV host, voiceover, keynote speaker, and the world's fastest talking woman. She's amazing. It's the amazing Fran Capo. Are you there, Fran?
Hey, Nancy. How are you? I feel like I need to slow down. I'm like going, oh, I'm kind of getting in beat with this music here.
I know. Getting in tempo with the music. Yeah.
I've never heard you so slow.
I know. It's amazing, huh? It's only on one cup of coffee. Oh, no. Together. Forget it. It's still one of my favorite episodes that I keep re-airing. Is the episode on my cable show that we did in my kitchen.
Oh, that was so much fun. I think we actually did two back-to-back because we just didn't have enough to say after half an hour.
I keep re-airing it because it's just so funny. You're such a good improviser, Fran, amongst everything else. Now, you've got a new book coming out. And
Yes.
Tell me all about it. And this is what number book of yours?
Number 14. Oh, and it actually came out. It came out like about 3 weeks ago. It's called It Happened in New York City. Now, I wrote another book called It Happened in New York. Totally different stories. That was about the whole state. This one specifically called It Happened in New York City. And it's 23 different things that happened in New York City that people, you know, don't know about. You know, what makes the city the city. I mean, you know, things... for example, I mean, there's just so many cool stories. I'll give you an idea of one of them. Back in 1835, because the book starts from 1654 and goes all the way up to 2004. So back in 1835, there was this guy, and he was, you know, he was a reporter at a newspaper, and you know, he's just kind of, you know, doing his thing, and you know, newspaper boys are selling stuff on the street, and all of a sudden, the paper comes out one Friday morning, and it says Celestial Discoveries, and the people are like, Celestial Discoveries, you know, what's this about, right? This guy, John Herschel, they said that there was an article written by a series of articles written by Sir John Herschel, and that he made these fantastic discoveries. So the newspaper was reporting them as if they were journal entries. And so they started talking about life on the moon, and not just like, you know, hey, life on the moon, there's a little atom floating around and there's some water there. They started talking about that there was like a whole cavalcade of life, like from water birds to unicorns to beavers that walked upright on two legs and carried their youngs in their arms, you know, and then there was these two-foot creatures with wings called man bats, and, you know, the people started getting fascinated, and the papers couldn't sell fast enough. I mean, there were thousands of newspaper boys lined up in the streets, and this was from the paper, the New York Sun, and everyone started talking about it. I mean, from the rich to the poor, from New York, the story went worldwide to Britain, to Italy, to France, and everyone kept saying, I mean, have you heard about the news of man on the moon? So you would think, like, now, today, in this day and age, we go, oh, come on, unicorns, man.
Is that where it comes from, man in the moon?
The man in the moon, exactly.
That's saying the man in the moon?
Yes.
That comes from that?
This comes from this. And the whole cool thing was this guy, you know, who decided to write about it, he had just read that some scientist was, like, looking up some stuff, and he wrote, you know, hey, look, it's possibly feasible that the moon has inhabitants. And even though the guy that was writing it thought it was nonsense, at the time, people were waiting for the arrival of Halley's Comet, which only comes every 75 to 76 years. So it was due to be streaking across the sky back then. So people were already thinking about, you know, Halley's Comet is coming. So this guy, this publisher, his publisher was Benjamin Day, And he said to him, listen, I want to write a series on the moon. So the publisher didn't even think of, like, you know, asking him, like, well, what, you know, what's your series going to be about? He just said, yeah, go ahead and do it. So at the time, the guy got paid $500 for the entire series, which, of course, which was back then was like a year's salary. And, he agreed. So he let this guy, this writer, Locke, write this whole thing, and it became an 11,000 word narrative. And every day he would describe different scientific, you know, things that were happening
as if it were fact.
And the thing was, people believed it was real, and he couldn't believe that people were thinking it was real. And so the publisher, you know, it was never established whether the publisher actually knew that the guy was spoofing everybody or not, but the whole thing became, the way that it got credited was because the leading astronomer at the time was this guy, John Herschel. And he was literally on the other side of the world, but he did have a telescope that he was looking through. So that guy didn't even know his name was being used and that it was supposedly his journal entries, because at that time there was no internet, stuff where people could say, hey, did you hear that, we're reading your journals, whatever. By the time that guy found out his name was being used for this hoax, it was months later, so he didn't even know. And it took a good 2 years before anybody realized that the whole thing was a hoax. But the thing was,
a year.
I mean, the story only ran for a couple of weeks, but what happened was people wanted to start seeing pictures, so the guy got a lithograph guy to start drawing pictures of these man bats, and actually looked online, and you could, some of the pictures go for a high amount of money, but they had lithographs of it if, you want to purchase a lithograph of it. And, of course, at that time, P.T. Barnum was around, and the guy who brought the circus to town, and so he had introduced New Yorkers to bizarre creatures, so he was deeply, impressed with this, and he wanted to buy, like, this later on he wanted to buy the moon hoax paraphernalia. And at the time, then, back then, people later on, when they found that it was selling for like $25,000, just to get like a picture of these man bats, an original lithograph. And the guy Locke, who had started this series, he had no idea like how big this was going to get. And at one point he wanted to admit that it was a hoax, but he would hear people on the street actually validating his story. Oh yeah, you know what? I actually read John Herschel's thing, and it's true. You know what? I actually saw. And so people just started verifying this hoax as if that they heard evidence that it was true. And so it was just like things like that. The book is filled with like little known things.
It's based mostly on New York City, whereas your other book, It Happened in New York, is on the whole state. I love your books. I love all your books.
I think I have most of them. I think you do. You have the Frank Capo collection there.
I do.
And that's just one of the stories. I mean, so it's just like really interesting stories. You know what was really cool? I just got an email from a guy who owns an artist studio in Manhattan. He just said, oh, I've read, and the book just came out. So it's kind of cool to be hearing from people who have just picked it up from Barnes & Noble or Amazon.
Wow.
Or, and he said, I just read your book. I'm passing it around to my friends, and of course I'm saying, no, buy it. Don't pass the one book around.
Don't share.
Exactly. Come on, don't go to the library. Buy the book. But the point is, it's just so cool to hear that already, people are, the book's already getting a buzz, and it's only been out for, it's only been out for about 2.5 weeks. And so I'm like really, really excited about this book, because it tells you where in Manhattan.
Like for tour guides to read?
This is perfect for tour guides to read. Actually, the two people that worked on it with me, Art and Susan Zuckerman, are tour guides, and I do some city tour guide stuff with them. And I do actually do some tours.
Comedy tours. Do you do comedy factual tours? Or?
I do, fast-talking tours of New York. If people are in a rush and they want to get a...
One minute, get on the bus.
The city. Yeah, look over there. Wait, don't get into an accident. Okay, now we're stopping here with that. No. But because I've done so many things around the city, as I say, hey, this place has got blah, 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 and then I explain, like, something I may have done in the place. Like, for example, like when we do tours of, Grand Central Terminal, letting them know that the that the ceiling was that the sky on the ceiling was actually put on backwards, because when the person read the blueprints, when they put things like that.
See?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and I have a tour guide license.
Yeah, you see, and if you look in one corner, let's see, how would I say this? Because I'm not good at knowing southeast, northwest, like saying with southeast corner.
You mean where the brick is?
Like on the ceiling, the main major ceiling, right? If you, when you're standing there, there's one corner that you'll look. The rest of the ceiling looks really clean, and there's one corner that it's got like a spot of dirt on it, and they left
that
the intentionally.
Brick. They left one brick. It's as you face forward, kind of on the as you face the front of the building on the left hand side. I think I wish I knew the constellation it was near.
Right, I'm just trying to think, too, because that ceiling was cleaned by hand, and so they wanted you to see what it looked like before and after, so they left the one dirty area.
And there's an echo chamber down in the lower. Tell them about that.
Yes, if you go downstairs, like right before where you walk into, like it's right near the restaurant. What's the name of that restaurant?
The Oyster Bar?
The Oyster Bar, and like right near where the bathrooms are downstairs. If you put your face in one corner, the way that the ceiling was built, you whisper into that corner, and if somebody's standing catty corner to you and puts their ear to the other corner, the sound travels over those tiles and allows you to hear the whisper of the person on the other side. Also, because it was built by the Vanderbilts outside, if you look outside at the awning, it looks like there's ropes going up there, and there's cement rats. And the reason they did that is because he was in the boating business, and rats used to get on the boats coming, you know, to America. So they have actually little rats outside on
actually,
the...
He was part of, wasn't he the ferry that went back and forth from Brooklyn to New York?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So, yeah, how cool. So anyway, so it's just like... but the thing
I love
is,
this book.
And you didn't even read it yet. and it's just so... And then that's the thing I like, because I always love finding things about a place that I've lived in all my life where I could even go, oh, wow, I didn't know about that. I like that I didn't know about that factor. And then, of course, you know, the book, because I always love it, at the end of the book, we always put, you know, trivia facts, just quick little things that you could, you know, take away, like New York City was the capital of the United States from 1783 to 1789, that the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Manhattan is built on shock absorbers to reduce the vibrations from the trains that travel under it. Flags hanging outside the hotel indicate that a foreign VIP is present inside.
This is at which hotel? The Plaza?
The Waldorf Astoria.
The Waldorf, that's right.
So if you see flag hanging outside, that means a VIP, a foreign VIP is inside.
I love that trivia.
Yeah, and I mean, and I have like all
and,
this.
And the equal sign, there's an equal sign?
What do you mean an equal sign?
I don't know if you have, there's an equal sign like above the, above somewhere on the front of it. It's like the equal sign, two lines, because originally at its old location, didn't the two hotels, I believe, connected? But it was like two different of the Waldorfs owned it. Like
I don't know. But you know what? That could be for the next book then, Nancy.
Now, your first book is all about the state. This book is all about the city.
About the city of New York, right? Because they figured that there was enough stories in Manhattan alone. You know, and it's got practical information. Like if somebody is coming to New York City, I mean, you know, like when you travel to a city, usually you go on tours and that's how you find out about things. But I think this is kind of like if you're coming into the city and you have kids that are coming in, you know, hey, on the plane, let them read stories about where they're going to be coming in and visiting. So when they go to a place, they go, hey, that's the chapter. Remember you read this about that, you know, in the book. And it's just other things too. Like, you know, we take it for granted that everybody knows SoHo means south of Houston Street and NoHo is north of Houston Street. But, you know, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't even understand why we call it Houston instead of, you know, Houston, because of the way that it's written. And simply that was that the street was supposed to be named after a guy named Houston, but when they made the sign, they left out the E. But because they knew back then it was named after that guy, they just pronounced it the way that it was.
Dumping the tour guide. I didn't know that. You could have a whole board game on this book, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, and like, you know, everybody knows, a lot of people come to visit, especially women, the Naked Cowboy in Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy's real name is Robert John Burek, and he makes between $700 and $1,000 a day just posing in his underwear. Yeah, we're in the wrong profession, Nancy. Not that I want to necessarily just pose in my underwear, but I mean, this guy, I mean, $700 to $1,000 a day just singing in his guitar in his underwear. So
yeah, it's just incredible, the amount of information there too. You know, where can I get this book?
Well, I mean, the book is, you know, out at all the stores. It is in all the Barnes and Nobles, and like I said, the Amazons and the.
Oh, it is on Amazon. I was trying to find it. I guess I couldn't find the serial number for it.
Yeah,
I'll go back and look again and post it.
Yeah, the best way, because then they can get an autographed copy, which hopefully later on in life becomes worth a lot more, is if they
go. It's an autograph of the fastest talking woman in the world. I think it's worth a lot.
thank you, yeah. If they go to Fran Capo, FranCapo, FranCapo.com, I have a bookstore. You just go into the bookstore, and it's right up there, and you could pay through PayPal. I send you an autographed copy. If you have a birthday coming up or Valentine's Day, well,
it's Valentine's
Day.
I think you should get the book for Valentine's Day and act. Here's what you can do. You can act like you know something about Grand Central and you're following the book. Oh, I want to show you something in this book I got you. And go to those corners downstairs and make them stand in one corner and you stand in the other and whisper, I love you.
Yes, that would be best if you've ever, see, and then you see, and this and a lot more. And if you think you just get the whisper of I love you, wait till you read the rest of the book. No.
It's actually a great gift book. Why give candy?
Well, yeah, exactly. Candy only goes straight to the hips, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes
it goes
makes people break
to the
out.
Head.
Yeah, that's right. And it makes people break out. And, you know, here you got a book that the person could keep, you know, forever, and then they learn really cool facts, you know?
It's great. But if they want to, too, I mean, this is your new book, and of course, please run out and buy it this week. But if they wanted to buy your other books, they could also go to your website.
Yeah, all of my books and my CDs, everything, you know, and all different books, as you know. I mean, I have a lot of these, of this series. I have It Happened in Pennsylvania, It Happened in New Jersey, It Happened in New York, now It Happened in New York City, and I'm contracted, and I just found that I'm not actually allowed to say the titles of my next new books. I thought I was. So actually, I'm just,
name.
Just look for my name for the next books that are coming out. But I also, but you know what? I'll talk about the other book when it comes out. That we'll do
talk
it that
about the
way.
Other book. But let's talk about the other books you've written too, because this is all very interesting. You've done so many interesting things, from diving to Titanic to climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. You've jumped out of planes. You have so many. But you're also, if people wanted to, they can hire you as a motivational speaker.
Yes, I get asked a lot to come into the schools. I have actually a couple of gigs that are coming up right now where I go in and I speak to the students. And this is, I mean, from elementary school to middle schools to high schools to colleges, because at each different level, kids, you know, it's good for kids in a different way. And obviously the stories that I have of climbing Kilimanjaro going down is basically just teaching somebody that once you get an idea in your head, nothing is impossible as long as you believe in yourself. And I tell them the stories of how I climbed the mountain. And, you know, look, I'm just a normal person. It wasn't like I was a mountain climber, you know, or how I ate fire, or how I walked on hot coals, or how I, you know, did all these, you know, different things that I did, how I got chased by a leopard seal in Antarctica, and just all these things. And these kids hear these stories, and they're like, oh, wow, they get fascinated. I'm like, there's no reason you can't do it, too. You're not limited to anything but your own imagination. And that's the thing I think that is not taught in schools enough. Kids are taught the basics, which is fine, although we look at our economy, maybe it's not fine, because apparently the basics don't seem to, you know, the math doesn't seem to carry over. But but I think if kids were taught to be their own best cheerleader and to always surround themselves by five people, five of the most positive people they could, because you really are a sum total of the five people that you hang out with. And if you surround yourself, that's why I love hanging out with you, Nancy, because you and I, every time, and this is what people should know about your momity, Nancy's momity, and everything else that Nancy has done, what she, inside joke.
We're like each other's cheerleaders.
Yeah. But the thing is that it's you need to do is, if you believe in yourself, the universe attracts to you more of that because you're unstoppable.
Yeah. And when you get the negative influences out, too.
And here's the key. That's right, because the universe, if you look, I mean, now I'm going to get philosophical here, but this really is how I've gotten everything that I want in life. I call it, for me, you know, everybody's going to call it their own thing. I call it the capo click factor. Once I see something and I go, wow, I'm going to do that. I don't know how yet, but I am going to do that. And once I say those words to myself, I literally look at myself in the mirror and go, capo, okay, you're going to do this. You're going to figure out a way to do this because you want this. You know in every cell of your being this is the right thing for you. And once you get that, but on the same way, there are energy vampires in the universe, and those are the people that, you know, you'll go, wow, I'm going to do that. Oh, really? That's pretty hard. You really want to go, you know, that's a lot of work, you know. And then they start giving you that down thing, or they're always saying stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't complain about bad things to your friends or anything like that. Just simply what it means is you do it from a place of fact and not from a place of putting your passion into it. Whatever you have your passion into, whether it's positive or negative, you'll get more of. So all the books I've written, all the adventures I've done, all the people I've met, all the places in the world I go, it's all because it starts in my imagination, and then I just want to go out and do it.
It's great, and this is what you advise the kids, just to have a – it's almost like get a plan.
Get a dream. Get a dream, then get a plan. And that's why one of my books, Adrenaline Adventures, dream it, read it, do it, is because first you have to decide this is a dream that I have, and it has to resonate in your core that it feels right. Then once you dream it, you got to say, well, okay, you can just sit around dreaming all day, but how are you going to get there? And the thing is, you know, sometimes people always complain because they don't have money. They can't do it. I can't tell you how many things I did figuring out a different way besides money.
Oh, I know, Fran. It just is when you talk to people, or even when people go, gee, I'd like to get more press. And then you go, oh, well, here's how you start. And then you go, do you have a bio? No.
Yeah.
Do you have a
And then you said
so what you're really putting
bio.
Out in the universe is, it's in this day and age not to have a bio. What you're putting out in the universe is, I want to be famous, I just don't want to have to work for it.
Yeah, well, you know, the only work that success, the only place in the world that success comes before work is in the dictionary. So,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, really? And you have, I mean, speaking, how many shows are you up to now? Because I think last time we were laughing, how many TV shows you've done?
Well, I think I've done over 400 television shows and over 3,600, well, let's see. So 3,601 today radio shows.
Not to mention my repeats of my cable show.
That's right. Oh, do we get to count those? I usually only count the first time.
All right, well, I don't know.
So we had an extra couple of hundred.
Yeah. I guess you could count the airings of those shows.
Yeah, but thing is, you know, I mean, you know, when you think in life, like if you concentrate on what you don't want, you know, like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's just as it. So I always say, focus on what you want, not on what you fear. Okay, so because people always do the whole time, oh God, I don't want to be broke. Well, forget about concentrating. I don't want to be broke. Concentrate on I am rich, not I want to be rich. I am. Get the feeling, because you know the thing is, people wait for something to happen to feel good. You don't have to do that, and that's why I love going into the schools, because kids get it.
Is this part of your motivational speaking? Because I feel like people are getting a free motivational.
Oh, you know, this is just part of me. That's funny. You're right. This is part of the way that I do talk on stage, because the thing is, it's just like kids are great because kids have a great imagination, and hopefully up until a certain age they're not, you know, because kids are told no. I mean, and you get so many no's that after a while they start conforming to the way of thinking. But the thing, that's why it's so great to perform in front of kids, because kids don't know a boundary yet of their imaginations. And that's why it is so fantastic. And that's why I think that's why it's good, Nancy, because you and I are still kids when we grow up, and that's what you need to have, that childlike thing. That's why when people say to me, when I was climbing Kilimanjaro, they go, but have you ever climbed a mountain before? I go, no, but who the heck wants to start with Mount Bob?
I want to climb Mount Bob.
Yeah, right, exactly. And they go, who's that? The local guy next door that weighs 800 pounds? Who's Mount Bob? You know, it's like, no, I'm going to climb a mountain that people have heard of. So when I come back, they go, Kilimanjaro. And it's so funny, too, because people go, where is that? Africa? Yeah.
And you brought your son?
I brought my son because, well, actually, it really started out funny, is because I was writing my Adrenaline Adventures book, and when I was doing that, I was doing research on a totally different chapter. I did not even have the thought in my head that I was going to climb Kilimanjaro. And when I was doing the research to find out the rock climbing place is the same, the guy goes, oh, yeah, we do rock climbing now and mountain climbing. Have you ever mountain climbed? I'm like, I've done some, you know, rock, you know, not mountain climbing per se. And then he goes, oh, yeah, we lead tours. And I forgot what mountain he said, but I had never heard of it. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. But if I'm going to climb something, I'm going to climb something like Kilimanjaro. And I just kidding around said, and he goes, oh, I know a guy in Africa who led the IMAX movie team up of, Kilimanjaro. And I'm like, get out of here, really? He says, if you ever want to climb, look the guy up, Corbett Bishop. So when I was looking it up, I found out that an 83-year-old woman climbed Kilimanjaro. I'm like, well, if an 83-year-old woman could do it, I could do it. Of course, I didn't realize she was in a wheelchair and got airlifted up there. But,
fair.
Minor detail. But I was like, all right. So I started getting it, and I started telling all my friends. And it's so funny because in the beginning, all of them were like, yeah, we'll climb Kilimanjaro with you. And I get Corbett Bishop to fly in. We have a meeting at my friend's house, and there's like 15 of my friends, all who are, oh, we're going to do it, Fran. And one by one, they're like, ooh, that sounds like a lot of work.
How is it again?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're going to fall off the edge. Oh, you sure we're not going to get Ebola? I'm like, Ebola, yeah. And so the
I'm
only
not good at hides.
Yeah, but it was because, you know, people will come up with all these things. What if I get attacked? What if I? So the only person, my mother was there, my son was there, and, you know, they just came to hear.
Your mother
the
went? I didn't know your mother went.
No, not to Kilimanjaro. My mother went to the meeting because she wanted to hear what is her crazy daughter into again, you know. And so, she went to the meeting, and then afterwards, one by one, everybody was dropping off. So I run into my son's room, and I said, Spencer, guess what we're going to do? We're going to climb Kilimanjaro. And he's like, oh, I don't even like to walk. I'm like, no, wrong attitude. The glaciers are going to melt by 2015. And he's like, we've got time. No, wrong attitude.
We've got time, Mom. That's hilarious.
Poor kid. He's like going, oh, God. You know, I'm like, you're my son. You can do this. So we start bike riding, like 50-mile bike rides and 100.
I didn't realize you trained for this.
Oh, you have to train for it because the thing is, after there's altitude sickness, and if you don't train for it, people die up at the top of Kilimanjaro.
Your friends dropped out for a reason, Fran.
Yeah, they did. But you know what? Some people are wimpy. You're going to die at some point. But, you know, it's like after 10,000 feet, it's like literally having a sock on your nose and a
I went up in the mountains in Colorado somewhere. Where was it?
Oh, Mount Evans?
It was very tall. It was near Breckenridge.
I don't know where, but Mount Evans is in Colorado, and that's a tall one. It's like elevation is like 12,000. Kilimanjaro is 19,000. After 10,000, you do get altitude sickness.
Right, that's as far as I went, 10,000.
Yeah, because what happens is you get dizzy. The thing is, and the only cure for altitude sickness is to come down or to die, and the second one's not that good. So when we were climbing, and, you know, like you had to train, because also you're going to be climbing for 7 days. And I asked Corbett, I go, well, there's 5 ways to go up the mountain. Which way are we going?
Because how many hours a day? That's what I want to know.
12. Oh, no. This is not like a little walk. And the thing is, after day 3, my son's going, it's not getting any closer. I go, I know, isn't that an optical illusion? It looks that way, Spence, but I guarantee you we're getting closer. And in my head I'm going, ooh, we don't
how
look
old
like
was he when you did this with him?
He was 16. 16. Yeah.
What a great thing to do with your son.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And it was so funny because every day, you know, he would just look at me. And when the night of the summit, because they wake you up at midnight because they want you to be able to summit by sunrise, the night of the summit. Now, they told us it might get to like 10 degrees, which is pretty cold. And, there's 5 different climates. So, you know, first you start out where it's nice and green and, you know, it looks beautiful and there's grass and you see elephant tracks and you see all of that. And then as you get, you know, you go up and up and up. And, well, now it gets colder and colder. And the difference, like in the day, like in the first day we were climbing, it was 90 degrees in the day. And it was, you know, 50 at night, not too bad. But then the second day it was like 80 in the day and 40 at night, and it kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller until it was cold in the day and the night. Well, when we were there at the day that we were supposed to summit, it was minus 15 degrees, 45-mile-an-hour winds. And
whoa.
I'm telling you, me and Spencer, and he's climbing the mountain. He's going, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. He's like, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. And then I'm thinking, we're going to die. And I'm like, What did I get ourselves into? I mean, the water in our camelbacks froze, and like the Maasai warriors had to like keep our hands warm, and then Spencer felt his toes and hands were getting frostbitten. But the problem is, once you're there, the only thing to do is you have to go up and over. There's no way at that point to just turn and go back down. So you have to quickly get up and over. And oh my gosh, getting the winds when you get to the top. I mean, it's literally our bodies were like at a 45 degree angle to try to walk into the wind to be able to just stay with our poles and keep walking. And my son did get altitude sickness. So quickly, of course, even though he had altitude sickness, there's a good mom here. Quickly, I set out the chairs and did a book signing up there, which people could see a picture of me on my website.
On www.francapo.com, right?
Right. And if you see, go to World Records, and you'll see a picture of me with my son standing next to me holding books, and I do a book signing up there, and people are like, well, who else is up there? I go, there's no other place to go but the top. So other people are there. I'm like, well, yep, here, you might as well buy a book. So
so you broke a record for selling the books at the highest level? Or
that's it, exactly. The book signing at the top
of the
world.
How many world records do you hold, Fran?
5 world records.
Get a new one? Did I not know this one? What is this latest one?
The latest one, okay, so you know it's the fast talking, then a book signing at the top of the world, book signing at the depth of the sea, which was down by the Titanic. Then the third one was I got asked to speak in the Dominican Republic, with Doctors Without Borders, right? So they have another group of chiropractors that got together and called themselves Chiro Mission. So they decided to go to the Dominican Republic and to help people. And so they told me that they see a lot of people. I'm like, well, how much is a lot? They say, we bring 30 chiropractors, and we see, 10,000-12,000 people. I said, what are you talking about, and how long? They said, 2-3 days. I go, get out of here. So I decided that I would document it. So I have a TV show on the internet called Fran's World. So I convinced the guy to give me a cameraman to follow me to the Dominican Republic, and with 39 chiropractors, we saw 21,695 patients in 2 days. It was amazing. And it wasn't like
where is this? Where can we see this? Say
if
that
you
again?
If you go to everything's at francapo.com.
Oh, okay.
So
I would go there just to read some of your fascinating stories, like your trip to the Titanic.
Yeah, which is all under world records. I actually have to post the Cairo Mission one, which I haven't posted yet. Well, and considering it was 2 years ago, because
you gave the first prayer at the Titanic
down by the wreckside. Yeah, because I figured, if I'm going to do a book signing down there, I had heard that no one ever done a prayer down by the wreckside of the Titanic. So I figured, I'll become an ordained minister. I got a U.S. Navy chaplain to give me a non-denominational prayer, and became the first person to say that. Now it's funny because my mother, who was used to me doing a bunch of crazy things, I remember picking her up from work that day, and I'm like, hey, Ma. Guess what I did? And she goes, what? I go, I became an ordained minister. And she starts laughing hysterically. I go, why do you find that funny? She goes, I don't know. Out of everything you've ever told me in your life, with all the crazy things you did, I just did not expect that you were going to tell me you'd become a minister. And so my son used to get embarrassed because I would have the license, the little permit that you could put in the window. And when I would go to school, he goes, Mom, please don't put the permit in the window. I'm like, what? I'm a minister. I can put the permit in the window. His mom, please don't use God to get a parking spot. I'm like, okay.
That's too funny, Fran. It's like it's all the things you do. Now, are you performing as well? Because I know you're a great comedian. You've been part of Momedy for years. Where are you performing? Or are you? I know you.
Yes, actually, I'm still doing stand up. I have a lot of stand up comedy things that I'm doing. I have. As a matter of fact, in 2 weeks, I'm at the Comedy Cabaret in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, on the 26th and 27th of February. And then, like I told you, next month, I'm doing a lot of talks in a lot of different schools. Comedy Cabaret.
You also have – do you have a motivational CD or –
Well, I have a CD that's called The Science of Getting Rich, and it's based on a book by Wadlow, but I do it with my stories up in front, and people said, so funny, people have said that they never quite heard a reading like this, and it just reminds me of when I was in acting class. I only took one acting class when I was in college, and I had read, there was a monologue, I can't remember the name of it right now, it's eluding me, but apparently it was a monologue.
You only had one acting class, I can't believe that.
But I guess because my mother always told me, the best actors are the ones things that act naturally from their heart. So in my head, that translated to, oh, then you don't need to take acting. I don't know. That's how I took it. But that's not necessarily true, but that's in my head. But the funny thing was the monologue that I read apparently was about a guy committing suicide, but I didn't read it that way. I actually thought it was a really funny monologue. So Zoo Story, Edward Albert's The Zoo Story. And so I'm reading it, and the teacher, I remember, goes, Fran, this is supposed to be a serious monologue. I've never quite heard it read that way. I go, oh, the guy's dying? Okay, well, okay.
Oh, okay, adjustment.
Yeah, and so, but the thing was, I just saw the comic spin on it. And I've been in a couple of plays. I've been in a bunch of movies that have actually won at the
actually,
Sundance.
Actually, you're in a movie this year. I saw you. It won some awards. It
just
was
Laugh.
Just Laugh, part of the film festival.
Yes, and that was at the Friars Club, which you
belong
to.
That's right. I was there reviewing it. It was
yes.
at the Friars Club. Yes, yes.
Yeah,
I
and that was...
I actually saw it twice.
See, look at that. See, that's like something my mother would do. Thank you, Nancy.
I did. They asked me, would you come in? And I said, yeah, I'll come in. You know, it's just, we've got Morning Coffee is listening to us.
Oh, cool. Say hello to Morning Coffee.
They're another show. Hi, Morning Coffee. You tell them good morning.
And, well, see, this is cool because Morning Coffee, I love the way that sounds. For me, if I drink coffee, I fall asleep. So this is good. Everybody's different in life, right? I drink cranberry juice, I get drunk.
Oh, they're very funny. They do a very funny, wacky show. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure they do. I love the name. I love the name Morning Coffee. That sounds great.
I've been going on, I got to tell you, I've been going on Blog Talk Radio, and I have just been listening to so many different shows. And you cannot believe what's on Blog Talk Radio. There's so many great shows and funny, weird, strange. There's a sci-fi one that's great. But my favorite title of a show is called The Chicken Whisperer. Oh, Morning Coffee says hello to you, Fran.
Say hi back.
Fran Capo, the fastest talking woman in the world, says hi back, Morning Coffee. If
that's
you're listening.
It.
But the Chicken Whisperer, that was my favorite title of
the
a show.
The Chicken Whisperer?
Yes.
So what do they whisper right before they eat the McDonald's sandwich? Look, I'm really sorry you sacrificed your life to me.
I don't know. I don't know how you whisper to a chicken. But,
yeah, right.
I think there's two people on Morning Coffee. I can't remember their names right now because I have so many things up right now. But
I guess I do want to tell you one thing that people could sign up for if they're interested. That might be kind of cool. April 18th, I'm going to be involved with a thing called Power Mastery. If you go to powermastery.com, I'm the keynote speaker there. There are motivational speakers from around the world, literally coming in from Australia, from England, and it's a very small but intense group. There's a limited, you know, it's not like a 2,000 seat thing or something. It's just a very small 2-day workshop. I'm the closing speaker on it, all about, you know, you had to get your finances in order and how to go after your dreams and, you know.
Fran, if you send me that, I'll re-edit the show and post that on today's episode.
Okay.
So
great.
If you send it, I'll repost it on there. I'll do it later this afternoon when I get back, but I'll repost that information. So when this show is archived and anybody's listening, they will have that information at their hands as well.
Great, because it's cool, and they do have some scholarships, so actually people could sign up for scholarships, and there are a couple of scholarships that are awarded.
That's great. They love your last Morning Coffee.
Okay. Okay, cool.
They're in the chat room now. They love your laugh.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
Yeah, Morning Coffee, you guys are crazy. But they're very funny, those two. I've listened to their show.
Excellent. Well, I think it's great everybody's supporting everybody. I mean, see, to me, that is what is so cool. I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, you say, like what you said, you know, Morning Coffees, it has their coffee. I say coffee. Boy, am I from New York. Coffee. Morning Coffee. But, I mean, this
and
is
your
the
book,
thing.
Like, let's go back to your book, because this just came out. I don't know Morning Coffee heard. It's called It Happened in New York City.
Right.
And you can get this on www.francapo.com.
Right, CAPO, FranCapo.com. I mean, it's also available, but at Amazon.
And you also have books on. They said they love to laugh and act silly. but you also, your book, It Happened in New York City, you have a book, Morning Coffee. This is important. If you go to Fran Capo's website, she also has a great book on how to publicize yourself.
Yes, that's true. And I also have a CD, too, called The Secrets of Publicity.
The Secrets of Publicity. It's a very good book. And also she has a comedy book if you're interested. She'd Love to Laugh, Morning Coffee. She has a book on how to become a comedian. And so there's a lot of good stuff going on with the Fran Capo.
Oh,
and you're performing next where?
Next is at the Comedy Cabaret on the 26th and 27th in Doylestown. And then after that, I mean, I have other things, but a lot of the other ones are, you know, private events where I'm going into schools. So then the next one that is open to the public would be the April, the Power Mastery.
If you send me the Power Mastery, I'll definitely put that up.
As soon as we get off, I will send you the link.
They want the link. Give me the link.
Powermastery.com.
www.powermastery.com.
And say Frank Capo sent you.
www.powermastery.com. Fran Capo sent you. And let me give you the www.francapo. Sorry, I'm typing at the same time.
I'm like, wait.
Okay. I'm sending that too. Oh, they wanted both of them. They wanted, thanks, got it. They said,
okay.
They are two crazies. I'm telling you.
What are the names?
I have to look it up again. If they'll send me their names again. I don't know where they're going. They're like the performance art of radio.
Oh, that's cool.
So they kind of crack me up, but it's they're nice people, very nice people. But they wanted both of the websites, and I'm sure they'll pass that information on to their followers as
well.
Yeah,
because as soon as you see the Welcome to Power Mastery, then you'll just see it'll say sign up for the event on the right-hand side, Empowerment Retreat, April 16th to 18th, and then you click on to that.
Oh, they're Mo and Vic.
Mo and Vic. Oh, we'll love it. Mo and Vic. I don't know why those names just crack. Hey, Mo and Vic. Mo and Vic from Power Master. I love
I know. It's very funny. But also, Fran, this is so great. Everything you've done, all the writing you've done, accomplished, you've broken so many world records.
And the adventures, too. I try to get people motivated through my adventures.
Yes. What's the name of the book?
Adrenaline Adventures.
Adventures. It's
that's
a great
the adventure book. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And the New York City book, It Happened in New York City, is the one that just came out. So obviously, that's the one I'm promoting this week. You know?
That's what, It Happened in New York City, www.francapo.com to get it directly. Also, if you want, you can go to Barnes & Noble, where else?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon. It's actually out everywhere. I mean,
it's
a real book.
It's a real book. It's not self-published. It's a real book. And it's that, you know, the fact that you do it, that you just do it, which is part of your motivational speaking.
Which is the name of my talk. I mean, I have
all right,
two books.
They keep, I think you have new fans here, Fran. A big
cool.
Shout out, capital letters, wow, she's pretty.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I like that. Oh, wait, we weren't quite sure with the laugh, what she looked like. We better look. Oh, she's pretty, too.
She's pretty. And she's broken so many world records. Her book, really, if you want to publicize yourself, that's a good one. But the new book, because the first couple of weeks count on everything to for her, to get her in that bestseller market, is It Happened in New York City. And that's what we're pushing here.
That's right. That's what we're pushing
there.
That book. And then people can go to the website and they can look at the other stuff. And also, Nancy, I mean, in a few weeks, well, I shouldn't say in a few weeks because I don't know exactly when, but I'm doing a whole rebranding. I actually...
really? Tell me.
Of my website. So it's going to be a new website coming out, which will actually say 5 world records instead of 3, but it's going to have, you know, updated pictures, and it's going to have, I don't want to say too many of the things, but it's going to have a lot of cool things. But I will say one thing, you know, because I'm in the Guinness book, I'm in the Ripley's book, the Ripley's artist, John Graziano, did a cartoon of me that had appeared in the Ripley's comic strip, you know, that goes worldwide. So he took that, so I'm using that as my logo. So there's a picture of me as a cartoon character sitting on top of the world that's going to be with my new website. So I'm so excited about it because it looks
great. Really
cute. And everybody's like, oh, it looks really cute. And then I just took new photos and then I just did some green screen stuff with a Cameo, a place called Cameo. The guy that used to run Rascals has this great studio that you can have these really cool things for your website. So, I mean, I'm like so excited because, like I said, you know, sometimes you just, and it's not reinventing. It's just like, you know, because, I mean, I just feel like
it's keeping it out there, Fran, and I think that's the message that you send out is that keep trying. Don't wait for people to give you things. If things are going slow, what are you doing to make things happen for you?
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, unfortunately, because of the way that society is right now, people are going, oh, work is hard. And you know what? Okay, work is hard, but there are people that are still making millions of dollars. And I'm not talking just about the car company people who are, you know. I mean, people are making millions of dollars in this market. The thing is, you just cannot buy into, when I say buy into, you know, look, there's a reality that's happening around. I mean, there is certain things that are happening around. But what you got to do is not say that that's the core of who you are. You just say, you know what, that's fine for them, but I plan on moving ahead. Just like when somebody will say, oh, you know, you can't do that. I'm like, okay, you know what, can you stand in the corner with your little can't word over there while I go do it? Because, you know, you're blocking my energy here, please. You know?
Oh, so, no, and there's so many people who just... You know, you are such a generous person as well. It's not just that, you know, you're a fascinating interview guest. It's that
you
are a generous person, and you do try to help your fellow things without it being draining. Your fellow things, your fellow performers,
your fellow like things, me. Those little things are going
to. But you do try to help them in some way. You go, hey, did you hear about this? Or I know somebody about that. And that's. You know, oh, boy, morning coffee. She says, thank you for that. I really needed to hear this. Oh, wow, that's great. But that you help and that putting the positive out there, making it happen for you, and that's how you've made so many things happen where other people are complaining. You go, ah, so it's not so busy. I'll do something else. Oh, it's not so busy in comedy. Let me write a book. Oh, it's not so busy on this. Let me write a blog. But you're always...
And that's the thing, is to always... Exactly, Nancy. But you do that, too, so you know of that philosophy because you come from there. And that's the reason I think that it always works out good with us, because we always say, okay, well, you know what? All right, we're not going to do it this way this year. We're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And as long as you know, there is always a way to do something. There is always a way to get there. And, all right, so the last 20 years you took a train, and now the train's broken, and this time you got to walk or you got to drive. So what? It'll give you a different perspective on life, and it'll get you to where you got to go. The whole thing is you just can never stop believing in yourself. And as long as you don't, you will always be successful.
Yes, and also just thin out the negative people.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, even if they're in your family. I mean,
you have to. It's just that so many – when you realize that you're doing more and getting less out of a relationship, it's time to move away, because those people, you go, oh, they're takers, not givers.
Well, this is the reason a lot of times people don't leave something is because they're scared of what's out. You know, look, sometimes things are comfortable, and so you stay with what's comfortable. And so because you don't know what's out there, you go, oh, well, at least I know this, but I don't know that. But the thing is, you'll never reach another land if you don't lose sight of the shore. You know, sometimes you have to get in that boat and travel and not necessarily go. But or think of it like a car. You know, I mean, they actually talked about this in that movie, The Secret, and I love that analogy that someone gave, was when you're in your car and you're driving at night, you can only see the 200 feet ahead of you with your headlights. You know, but you trust that the road is still there.
I know, that's nice, Kristen.
Yeah.
Miss Laugh-A-Lot is online, and she's sending you smiles and hearts and kisses.
Aww.
I wonder where Miss Laugh-A-Lot, where are you? I forget where she's from. I wonder if she's from Canada. She might be as far away as Canada. Miss Laugh-A-Lot,
and
we're on with...
I've been in Canada many times. I've actually done, because I was the spokesperson for Expedia.ca for 2 years in a row, looking for the fastest talking Canadian. So I've done a bunch of Canadian television shows and radio shows. I love it there.
Yeah, I wonder where Miss Laugh-A-Lot, if you're listening there, I see you're typing away. But if you're listening, where are you from? She has a show, too. You got two shows listening in on shows. We're triple playing it here.
That's cool. See, you see, already the abundance is flowing.
It's all, it's great. It's great to have that. But, while I have a minute, though, I do want to plug another friend's show. Her name is Linda Hill, and she's got a show. Oh, she's from British Columbia, Miss Laugh-A-Lot. Shout out, British Columbia. That's great. Are you a comedian, Miss Laugh-A-Lot? Write me back. But Linda Hill has a show opening up at the Wings Theater, 154 Christopher Street. It's opening up this Friday. For information, go to, she didn't put her website. Bad girl. But the box office is 212-627-2961. 212-627-2961. It's Big City Hicks. Oh, she's hilarious. Linda Hill, I don't know if you know her. She's a comedian.
No, I don't know her.
She does parodies, and she's very funny, and it's opening up. I'm going to get have her on the show sometime.
Excellent.
So to do that. Oh, Miss Laugh-A-Lot said she has an abundance of laughter.
I love it. See, and you'll never run out if you have an abundance because it always gets automatically resupplied.
Yes. Well, I don't know if let me tell her about you. This is we're talking to Fran Capo, Miss Laugh-A-Lot, fastest talking woman in the world, record holder, and she's got a new book out called It Happened in New York City. Maybe one day she'll write a book called It Happened in British Columbia.
There you go. It Happened in Canada. It'll be easier.
It Happened in Canada. That is one thick book.
I know. I'll do a chapter on each area.
On each area. Oh, my goodness. You know, Fran, you always have me cracking up. Again, Fran's new book is called It Happened in New York City. You can get it in all the major bookstores and at www.francapo.com. Believe it or not, Fran, we've been on the phone for almost an hour.
How did it happen so quickly?
Because you have so much. You're like multiple guests in one. When I have you on the show, it's like having multiple guests.
We'll talk about the comedy. We'll talk about the books. We'll talk about the adventures.
The adventures and the books. And you even have a book about your family.
Almost a Wise Guy, which is a really cool book. I mean, people get a kick out of that. That's a laugh-out-loud book. So,
listen to me. Yeah, that's about your dad, and it's pretty funny. What is it called? Say it again.
It's called Almost a Wise Guy. And my dad had one brother, a highly decorated police officer, and the other one that was in the mob. So he kept going back and forth between the two. It's a true story. He asked me to write it before he passed away, and I was like, the names have been changed to protect the author. So everything's in there.
Oh, that's so funny. I got to read you some more. I'm writing her to touch base with you. This is fascinating. You never know who's listening. Miss Laugh-A-Lot is a laughter yoga teacher. I don't know if you know this, Miss Laugh-A-Lot, but that was featured. Wasn't that featured
in the film? Yes. I have a movie. Well, it's not my movie, but I'm in a movie called Just Laugh. And actually, if you go to www.justlaugh.org, you can see it. And in there, they talk about laughing coaches where they have laughing yoga where people come and they have the circles and they teach people the different types of laugh, so much like different yoga moves. And it is. You know, it replenishes the body because laughter is inexpensive and has a fantastic healing effect on the body.
Oh, I think she would agree. I sent her that one, justlaugh.org. I interviewed them, too, on my TV show as well, on my TV show. Fran,
I love
that.
It. I tell
just
you,
laugh. You should check that movie out. That's great. She goes, yes. Talk about what you do. Yeah, she goes, yes. Going to check Fran out. But it's been great. I have my morning coffee people. A big shout out to them. She goes, she will check it out, Fran.
Okay, good. I like
she says,
that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Miss Laugh-A-Lot. I love the idea of laughing yoga. I don't think I can do yoga. I can do yogurt. That's about it.
I do both. Yogurt while doing yoga. Actually, I was in Jamaica recently, and I said to the guy, I said, listen, what do you do with energy vampires? Because we were talking about that. This was a very important thing that he said. He goes, as long as you approach anybody from a point of compassion and not anger, hatred, fear, or frustration, then you could help them without being sucked into their muckamaya. But if you approach them with any other feeling but compassion, then they will drain your energy.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. I find I have too much compassion, and I don't know when to let go of a toxic vampire.
Well, no. Well, yeah, you know, compassion doesn't mean you necessarily have to bring them home, you know, and bathe them and feed them. And, you know, it can mean that you just teach them how to get themselves in a better position. You know what I'm saying? Remember, you feed somebody for the day, they only eat for the day. You know, teach them how to fish, they eat for the rest of life.
Oh, boy, you're getting so much chatter on my thing here. Morning Coffee, love this interview. I love it, too. I teach here on Blog Talk Radio if you'd like to laugh for the health of it.
I do like to laugh for the health of it.
Yes, will do. Have you ever done a laughter seminar?
Because I know people. I mean, have I ever given one or been involved in one?
Been involved in one.
Yeah, well, because, you know, I work with Saren Rothberg at Comedy Cures.
Oh, that's right, Comedy
and
Cures.
And so a lot of times she'll have me along with her as one of her speakers, and so she does exercises with the cancer patients and their caregivers, and we do laughter exercises.
Oh, that's very interesting. Someday she'll see my set when it's not so hectic. I'm not hosting anymore. I'm going to headline from now on.
That's it, Nancy. Come on. You got a show, radio show,
I got to do that and got to do that with Momedy and everything. But Fran and everything, they love you here.
Thank you.
They said you can catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar.
That's very true. And anyway, it's a lot less painful. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can catch some of their shows too. This will all be archived, I'm sure. But they're in my friends actually. Miss Laugh-A-Lot and Morning Coffee, I believe, are friends of mine. So you could check
Nancy,
out.
You explain to me how to do that stuff, and then I'll be able to do it.
It's
so,
right on the site. Just go to Nancy's Friends, and you click on them. I think.
Cool.
That's about it. But believe it or not, we are 55 minutes into the show, Fran. Anything else you want to put out there into the universe?
I just want to say for everybody who has a dream, go after it, because the reason I believe that everybody is put on this planet is really to find their joy. And you don't have to wait till you get to the place of what you think you want. If you already visualize yourself having it, you could be joyous every day. And then when you get there, that's just the extra bonus. So, and in that.
And laughter is the best medicine.
And laughter is the best medicine. And this laughter, it happened in New York City books. So we end.
It is.
Circle.
Get all of Fran Capo's books. Oh, people, if you want to publicize yourself, if you want to know how to be a comedian, if you want to read about Fran's interesting family life, if you want to know Fran's adrenaline adventures, if you want to just go to her website and pick any of her books, especially her new one, It Happened in New York City. What a wonderful Valentine's Day gift to give to someone you love. Give them something they didn't know about the city they live in, especially if you live in New York or if you're planning a British Columbia on coming to New York. It's a great thing. Big shout out, Miss Laugh-A-Lot. It's Laugh-A-Lot and Morning Coffee. I'm going to listen to some of those lessons you're giving there, Laugh-A-Lot. And you Morning Coffee crazy people, you know I'll be tuning into you too. And I want to thank everybody today. It Happened in New York City. Get it. It's a wonderful book. You're going to love it. You know, I can't tell you enough. Fran Capo, www.francapo.com. Check it out as well. And I can't wonder if my music's playing. Trying to play my music, Fran. That's why I'm going crazy.
I know. I see it. I hear it. I hear it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming.
You hear it?
I heard like two beats of something.
I have no idea why.
Well, we could always do a singing extra outro. I don't know the music, but we could, you know.
There we go. I'm doing the opening music again and closing music.
Comedy concept.
Oh, Miss Laugh-A-Lot is coming to New York. Nancy, they say you're very motivational, Fran.
Thank you.
Okay. Great show, Fran.
Okay,
it'll be up probably in 32 minutes. It'll be up on my website.
And I'll send you the link for powermastery.com.
Oh, they said I wish I could watch your show more often. I will come to New York. Music, I'm dancing. Great show from Morning Coffee.
Excellent.
Thank you, Laugh-A-Lot, and thank you, Morning Coffee, and especially thank you, Fran Capo. It happened in New York City. Get it. www.francapo.com and in bookstores everywhere. This has been Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo. All right. Big kiss. Bye-bye.